is the Big Church Podcast.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Listen, I am so glad to see each and every one of you. Everybody wave at me. All right. Well, through the smoke, I see all of you out there. Last year, it was, how many would say last year was a kind of a difficult year, right? Well, last year, I remember preaching Easter Sunday, and there was maybe 14 or 15 people sitting out here and was preaching to a camera. I am so glad to see you here this morning. You don't know what a privilege it is to be in the house of God on Easter Sunday when you look out last year when there was nobody here. God is so good. So glad to see you live and in person. And listen, even though last year was difficult and it was rough, thank you online. It's good to see you this morning because we've been able to reach more people this year outside of the church walls because of our online services. So it's allowed us to reach out farther and see more people. We're starting to hear people from all over the country that are starting to tune into Big Church. So thank you for watching online. Thank you for supporting us online. Let's give our online a hand clap this morning. As we talked about last week, we called this whole past week is called Passion Week, and we watch it unfold as Jesus rides into town, and you know, he's riding in, and they're crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which was praise to the king, and they were looking at somebody, they were looking for an earthly king. They didn't realize what kind of king was riding actually into town. And just a day later, he walks in the church, and he starts correcting all of the religious folk. How many know in here that the religious folk don't like to be corrected? Oh, I got some religious folk out there right now going, "Don't you correct me." But he starts correcting the religious folk. And what happens is over a period of just a couple of days, he goes into the garden. And just in a couple of days, they're crying Hosanna one day. And a couple of days later, they're crying what? Crucify him. Oh, how shallow our praise is, and how quickly we forget how good God is. So then we know he goes into the garden, and he's accused falsely, and then he's crucified. So the part of the story I'm at right now is they're taking Jesus off of the cross. And when they take him off, he's placed in a tomb, and there's few people at the funeral. If you've known anything about COVID this year, there's been many funerals, and I feel sorry for people that have not allowed to have too many people. There's been some deaths in the family that just not allowed to have that full grieving moment because there's only been so many people that's been allowed at the funeral. Well, that's how what happened with Jesus. Not too many people showed up. And you know what a tomb feels like? A tomb feels hopeless. It feels depressing. It feels sorrowful. That's my Eastern Kentucky come out saying that's sorrowful. And it feels ending. It feels like something's over. But back in those days, the tomb represented this. It represented honor. It represented money. It represented respect because not too many poor folk had a tomb. So Jesus, I'm going to give you this. He borrowed his tomb. And what that shows you is the humility that he had. He had nothing on earth. You know what? He didn't have a house. He didn't have possessions. And he didn't have a position. So many times we think that our house makes us something and what our bank account says about something or our status tells us something. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, came and he laid it all down for you. The title of my message is today, "The grave is empty." Luke 24:1. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning," can I get some young folk to say "very early in the morning"? That's not 12 o'clock. Just putting that out there. "Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared." Say prepared. So the women go to the tomb. The tomb and feels hopeless. And why do they even go to the tomb? You know, Jesus is dead. What's the use? Why do we even need to go and do that? Because they could have put something in their mind saying, everybody else is quitting, so we might as well quit too. So many times we look around us at the circumstances and the situations that we're in and we see people running away from God and we see people going in the other direction and they say, well, you know what? If everybody else is doing that, we might as well quit too. And here's what happens. They're thinking, what in the world are we going to do when we get there? Because of this, it was dangerous because Jesus was not popular at that time. And anybody that followed him was not popular at that time. Actually, they were seeking them out to try to kill them too. It's dangerous. Plus, there are guards outside too. And also, there's a large stone that had been put over top of the tomb. And they knew when they got there, you know, I don't know, my wife's a boss babe. She's pretty strong. They knew that they probably could not move that stone on their own. And they started thinking, how were they going to do it? I don't know. You get a bunch of women together, they can figure it out. Shout out to our women out here. I knew I was going to get a standing ovation on that one. But the women went to the tomb. Come on, guys. Oh, let me go. Here we go. Stop. They couldn't move it on their own. How were they going to do it? Let me tell you something. There are many stones in your life that you've been trying to move on your own. You've been pushing. You've been pulling. You've been struggling. You've been striving. Can you identify some of those stones in your own life? Could it be fear? Could it be depression? Could it be addiction? Could it be some family issues? Y'all got a cray-cray family out there? Could it be your marriage? Is your spouse? No, never mind. It's all her fault. That woman you gave me. I see a lot of guys doing that, and the wives are going, no, no, it's the other way around. You know that. But the stones in your life, it could be your marriage. It could be a spouse. It could be your kids being crazy. Amen. It could be that debt that you've been trying to get out of. You feel like there's no way out. You keep struggling to try to move that stone on your own. Here's what you can know, that just like Jesus, just like the stone at the tomb, God can roll away the stones in your life. Can I just tell you something this morning? Jesus is the original rolling stone. Mick Jagger ain't got nothing on Jesus. You never know what you're going to get when you come in this church. If you're visiting, I'm not sorry. Jesus is the original rolling stone. He is still rolling stones in your life. He can move that thing that you said is impossible. He can move that thing that you said it's incurable. He can move every obstacle in your life. It's not impossible with him. It says they prepared. Say prepared. Even though they didn't know how or how they were going to move the stone, they still prepared. You're probably in life going to have obstacles. Keep preparing. You're probably going to have setbacks in life. You got to keep preparing. You're probably going to have disappointment in your life. You got to keep preparing. Why? Because preparation gives you access. Let me prove it to you. Look at verse 2. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Your preparation allows things to move in your life. If you prepare, God opens every door that you might be. You might think it's been locked. Maybe you think it's been bolted up. And maybe you think that, man, there's cobwebs all over it. But I'm going to tell you something. Your preparation allows God to open every door in your life. It makes you ready to handle life when life happens. Does anybody know life happens out there? Any life happens out there? Everybody should have their hands up right now. Because life happens. Look at verse 3. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. And behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Joy, happiness, was replaced by what just happened. We're happy. We got to the tomb. The stone's gone. Oh my gosh, I'm going in. This is going to be great. But then they walk in and they didn't find the body. And not only is he dead, but now somebody has stolen his body. It looked like the end of the story. Listen to me. The enemy is always trying to convince you that it's over. He's always trying to tell you there's no hope. He's always trying to tell you that you'll always be a certain way. I feel like preaching in here because I've got to tell you something today. It looked like the end of the story. What do you do when he comes for you? Bad boys, bad boys. I've been in the back of a couple cop cars. I know what he does when you... No matter how it looks, you got to remember that it's not the end of your story. Sometimes you got to tell the enemy. Sometimes you even got to sing the song to the enemy. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He took you out of your darkness into his marvelous light. You ought to be happy in this place this morning. Come on, if you can't get excited, your exciter is broken. Jesus is alive. Wow, that was good. Listen, you got to remember, his promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. If he said it once, he'll do it again. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes, I'm going to do it, and amen, it's done. Good job. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident, say confident, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. If he starts it, he'll finish it. If he began it, he's